Good to be in the Lord's house today. Take your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know that everybody in here will not need this message, but those of you that are like me will. So that'll probably be everybody. I wish I could say that after being saved, as long as I have been saved, that I have arrived at this area of loving other people and demonstrating love. Now remember, the commandment is to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I wished maybe the Lord had just said, just love your neighbor. That might have been easier. Don't know it would have been, but it might have been. If you have some neighbors like I got, it puts a struggle on things. Amen? And Phil's my neighbor now. So, y'all didn't, maybe I didn't know that. All right. But anyway, so loving others is the test. It tests our Christianity. It really puts us to the place where are we really who we claim to be? Are we Christians? And so here in chapter 13, we hear a lot about this chapter. I don't know that we practice it as we ought, but it is a wonderful truth to try to learn. I memorized this last year. I wanted to really strive to be more loving. I don't know that I did, but I tried. At least memorize the scripture and know the truth about it. And hopefully by the grace of God, I've practiced it. And the apostle writing to the Corinthian church, now if there was ever a church that was messed up, it was this church. I mean, they had all sorts of problems. They just fussed and they fought and they just had all kinds of, misguided ways that Christianity ought to be. Now, let's not get too indifferent about them because they were heathens. And they were saved out of heathenism and they were coming into a brand new way of life. So before you get all upset over somebody who gets saved out of sin and they don't do everything just right, just remember God's got grace for all of us and give everybody an opportunity to grow. And so the Apostle Paul is addressing all kinds of issues that you would think Christians wouldn't have a problem with. But some of them did. And so here's one of them. And he's talking to them about loving one another and how to demonstrate love. And so here in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. He said, if I don't love people, I'm just a bunch of noise. That's all that I am, a noisy Christian. All right? Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, man, I'm telling you, that guy is a preacher and a half. Amen? And understand all mysteries. Man, he's got such insight into the scripture. And all knowledge. Man, that guy can quote scripture. He can reference scripture. I mean, this guy's got it down. Or girl. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Man, I have never seen a guy like faith with him. But he doesn't have any charity in his heart. Now think about that. I heard a preacher say, we've got a lot of preachers that have their dispensation right, but their disposition is wrong. Vance Havner said that. Boy, I love to listen to Vance. If you ever want to listen to good preaching, listen to Vance Havner. And thanks, Brother Nathan. That was a blessing. Amen. And you have not charity, I am nothing. Zero. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Now, I think that's pretty extreme. Giving all your money away plus dying. But God said, if you don't have charity, if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, notice some characteristics. Charity, now look, charity suffereth long, and is kind. Let's just read that one out loud because I think we struggle with that, all right? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Let's read it again. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Well, some of us can suffer long. We're just not kind in it. We get to be a little crabby, a little bit indifferent, short-tempered with others. Charity envieth not. Charity envieth not. Real love doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doesn't make a lot to do about him or her, doth not behave itself unseemly, does not act in a manner contrary to God. That'd be a good way of explaining what that means. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now we're talking about charity. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity, we're talking about it, beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Charity endureth all things. The summary is, charity never fails. Charity never faileth. Now look at verse 11. Well, let's just read the rest of it. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part shall be done away. Now listen, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, now we need to hear this. I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. It's talking about when that which is perfect is come. When that which is perfect is come, that which I can't see is going to be revealed. The real you is going to be shown one day. The real me is going to be shown one day. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit, preach a little bit about that subject. And what kind of a heart do you have? Do you have a heart filled with charity? Now, let's suppose today that we were going to be able to examine everybody's heart. We hear a word used in our day and age, with transparency. All right? Let's be transparent. Well, that works until you have to tell something bad about yourself. Amen? We had an old doctor back home when my mom was in the hospital. We was talking about him. He's still living. He was a good doctor. He's cut and dry. You know, I mean, he didn't beat around the bush. He just told you the way it was. And if you needed surgery, he was the guy to go to. If you was one of these people that liked drugs, you didn't want to go to him because he just said, suck it up and endure it. All right? You'll get better one day. But he would always do this. When he came into the bed, in the hospital, there was always a window there, and your bed kind of set this way. And he would come in, and he'd put his hands in his pocket, and every time he'd go look out the window. He'd stare out the window a little bit and talk a little bit, and then he'd say, well, you got a day to live. Then he'd go on his way, or whatever it was, you know, he'd talk to you about. But he was always talking, you know, just what he was is what he was. Now, if you were going to be transparent today, if we were going to look inside of you and tell you the way it was, or you was going to tell us the way it was, would your heart be filled with charity today? I mean, genuine love for others and demonstrating that love. Or is there need for improvement in your life? Now, sadly, I think most of us in this room live a very self-centered life. It's all about now, if you're a guy, that's true. Because Ephesians chapter 5 tells us so. But I believe there's some girls that live like that too. It's all about them. Amen? Okay. That didn't go over well, but it may be true. So we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to try to examine ourselves, because one day whenever we stand before God, all the preaching that I have done will be measured not on how good the preaching was, but on what heart and what spirit I did it with. Did I do it out of a spirit of love? Now, take your Bibles and just go back a couple chapters to chapter 10. And I want to start here at the motive of everything that we do. This is our motive for everything that we do. All right? Motive is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All right? That's your first motive. Whatever you're going to do, you do it for God's glory. Anything done for you will fail. Keep reading. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's motive number two, the salvation of other people. That ought to be the motive of everything that we do, glorifying God, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and number two, reaching people with the gospel. That is the purpose, that is the goal, that is the reason God wants us here today, is to glorify Him and to lead others to Christ. Now, inside of that motive, we've got to examine on how we do it. Because you can do something and not really want to do it. Everybody in this room has had a job that they didn't want to do, but they did it because it was the job. Everybody has had something like that. I don't care if you're little bitty or you're old. You have had something you have done, not because you love doing it, but to save yourself some heartache. To get a job, to earn some money, to make ends meet, whatever the case may be, until you could find that job that you really want to do, whatever that may be in your life. And all I'm saying today is we've all had to do something. As the pastor of the church, I've had to do things, or let me put it this way, I have done things without a real compassionate heart. I've just done them because they had to be done. Friday, I called Brother Lee and Andrew, and I said, you know, y'all need to come out and shovel snow. Now, I've shoveled enough snow. But listen, I don't know that I ever shoveled snow for the glory of God. I don't know that I ever shoveled it with love for you. I think I did it because it needed to be done. But I thought, you know what? I am the boss. So you boys come out here and shovel. So they came out and shoveled snow. I doubt they did it for the love of God. You know why they did it? Because I called them. Now, I don't know that. I'm just telling you what I perceived. I didn't see any of them jumping out and saying, woohoo, glory to God, get to shovel snow today, hallelujah. No, that wasn't their attitude. Yeah, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, all of us in this room one day are going to be examined by God for how we've done what we've done. Have we done it because we love the Lord and we love others, or have we done it just because, well, it's what we're supposed to be doing? So we have the motive, but sadly, if you look at chapter 13, there can be some misrepresentations there. Well, there's some folks here speaking with tongues of men and of angels. I mean, they have got the gift of ability to speak. There's some that have the gift of prophecy and understand the mysteries and the knowledge, and they have all faith, and some that give and give and give, and some even do the ultimate sacrifice of being a martyr for God, but they're not doing it with the right spirit, a spirit of love. And therefore the Lord says, zero. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, today I think it's easy to get caught up in the habit of Christianity instead of a love for Christianity. We do because we're supposed to do. How many here really, now you don't have to raise your hand and confess. We're not in confession this morning. So please do not raise your hand and confess. All right? But how many probably came to church today not because we really are in love with the Lord and in love with the things of the Lord, the book, and had such a hunger and thirst for God, but probably how many came, if we really examined our heart, because it's Sunday. And this is what good Christians are supposed to do on Sunday. I mean, think about it. Well, what are you going to do this week? Well, you know, I got this. Oh, Wednesday I got church. Well, it's tonight I got church. And then Wednesday I got church. I got to go to church Wednesday. And then, you know, Sunday, well, Sunday's coming again, so I got to go to church again. No, I mean, really, whenever you look at your heart today, how many of us came because we really love the Lord or because, well, it's Sunday? Hey, you know, my goodness sakes, if I don't, I'll never hear the end of it. Somebody call me on it or something, you know. And so how many of us came with a genuine love for God? You say, well, preacher, my goodness, you know, we can't always do that. Oh, sure you can. You just got to discipline your heart to do it in the spirit of love. So there's the motive, but then there's many times a misrepresentation. I wrote down some things. I wonder how many Sunday school teachers of our Sunday school teachers today taught their Sunday school class because they love the Lord and because they love others instead of because, well, this is just what I'm supposed to do. You know, you can do that. I've done that before. Well, it's Sunday. I'm the Sunday school teacher in my class. I better get something worked up here and do it. I can't say I did it because I loved God or because I loved others. I just did it because I was a Sunday school teacher. How many of us maybe have got into the preaching? Some of you guys that's preached before. How many of us have done it because we love the Lord and we love souls and all that? Maybe many times, but maybe sometimes we did it just because it's Sunday. And you know, if I don't preach, people may get a little discouraged about paying me. Well, if I got up here and said, well, you know what, I've had a busy week, and I have had, you know, I'm going back and forth to see my mom, trying to take care of all this, and you know what, I just really didn't feel like getting nothing together today, and I'm really glad we had that good singing and the good offering and the good special, and let's just go home. Now, some would be, hallelujah. Even so, go Brother Tim. Amen. Miss Ruby, call again. Yeah, but there'd be some saying, hey, dude, do your job. I'm just telling you, I've preached before without really having a deep love for the Lord and a deep love for people. I mean, just done it because that's what we're supposed to do. How many in here how many in the choir this morning sang? How many of them choir guys sang and what choir ladies? How many of them sang because, man, they came to sing, oh, boy, I just love God. Oh, Lord, I'm just so glad to be able to get to sing in the choir this morning. Hallelujah. Love the Lord and I love souls. I want to glorify God. How many came with that attitude? Maybe some did, but maybe some came because, well, you know what? Choir time. I know the choir book or special, whatever it is. And, you know, if I don't, Brother Tim would be wondering, where am I at? How come you ain't in the choir? I mean, how many sing with a real loving heart? How many of us know what they did? How do I know that Jason really sang with a love for the Lord in his heart? I don't. But God does. God knows if I've taught my Sunday school class with a love for God or if I just taught it. How about, you know, we have many ministries around the church and let's go over to the mission center. I can't say I've always printed the Word of God because I love God and love the people. It's printed sometimes because it's got to be printed. Have you ever done that? You ever just done something because it needed to get done? Well, sure we have. And I'm trying to avoid using you all the time, but I'm trying to say we've all done that. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Tim, it's a great ministry putting the Word of God together. Amen. Well, that's true. But you know what? One day we're going to find out what your motive was for doing it. Was it just something to do for you, or was it because you love the Lord and love souls? Did you do it out of a heart of love? Well, here in a few more months, camp's coming up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. June and July and August cannot get here soon enough. Hallelujah. Man, if we was voting on global warming, I'd be in. Amen? Good. Now, if that equator would move up this way a little bit, hallelujah. But you know what? It's not going to. And the Lord said, as long as there's the earth, there's going to be summer and winter. It's just, I don't care what the climate change people say, there's going to be summer and winter because God said it. Amen? That's what God said. But camp's coming. How many of our camp workers and camp cleaner uppers and camp workers and camp providers and all that have done it with a spirit of love? I mean, you can just do it because we got to do it. Amen? If we don't get it done, then we can't have camp. And you understand what I'm saying? All these things. And we look at the Awana class and the Awana clubs and all the people doing Awana. Do we doing it because we love the Lord and we love souls? Or are we doing it, well, we just need somebody to do it, so we better do it or we can't do it. You see, the misrepresentation sometimes comes whenever the Lord says here, you know, there's a lot of people that's making a lot of noise and doing a lot of things. But the question is, are you doing it for me? Are you doing it out of love? How do I know that Miss Sherry and Miss Rachel played because they love the Lord or because the paper said, play? How do I know that? How do you know that? Well, I couldn't tell by their playing. I couldn't tell by their countenance. Amen? I couldn't tell none of that. And I don't have to tell. But the Lord's going to tell one day. How many of you, when you gave your offering this morning, gave it out of a heart of love? I don't know. Mine's still back here in the office. How many really gave with a heart? Well, I'm going to give my offering, not because I want to, but because if I don't, somebody might see me. I was in the John Jasper's church, and they do offering a little different. They have it's a black church, and they have a deacon come up and he exhorts all the men to give. And then they have a deaconess. She comes up on this side and she exhorts all the women to give. And that is not optional to give. It is not optional to set your sorry hind end in the seat in their church and not move, because they'll wait you out. They expect everybody to get up and bring an offering. Every one of them. And I'm telling you what, there was an old fella about there where Brother Charlie sat somewhere in that area, about it right in there, and they waited him out. I'm telling you. The piano player and the organ player, they just kept playing. They just kept watching. And about that time, everybody's attention got over there. Finally, you know, in the midst of all the, he finally got up and brought something, amen? I'm telling you, you know why he probably brought something? Get their eyes off of him. I don't know how people gave this morning. I don't know if you gave out of a spirit of love today. I don't know anything you do, but there's coming a day when that which is perfect is coming, and everything that we do will not be misrepresented. You know, there'll be people that'll say, man, we're glad to see you. Is that just something we say? I had a neighbor. Have you ever said something so stupid to somebody, and then after you say it, you think, did I just say that? I had a neighbor that passed away back home, one of my neighbors. He'd been there. He's been out there as long as we have. And so I went by to see his wife whenever I was back this week, and I was gonna go to the funeral home. I thought, nah, let's go by and see her, be better. And so anyway, so I went by and talked to her a little bit and got ready to leave. And the visitations that night, I mean, they're getting ready to go. And of all the stupid things, I've said it so many times, I said, well, have a good day. And then I walked and I said, Melanie, I'm so sorry I said that. I said, that just came out like, I said, I know you're not going to have a good day. You're going to have a rough day. You know, sometimes we just get in such the habit of doing things that we never really think, what am I doing? And so the motive and the misrepresentation, but then there's a manifestation of real love. And that's found in verse 4 down through verse number 8, the first part of verse number 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Now, when I mess up, I want everybody to be patient with me. Whenever I mess up, I want everybody to be patient with me. And if you just wouldn't mind, I'd like you to be a little understanding and kind. But am I that? You know, it's too easy to be judgmental in our day and age. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I think sometimes social media is the biggest racket for the devil, for people that there is. Amen? I don't know that it is or not. It just seems it can be. But you know, sometimes people are express things and they put things and you read them and you think, man, I'm glad you don't go to our church. Amen? Or I hope nobody knows you go to our church. You ever see somebody mess up in their life and they're not like 6 or 7 years old. I mean, they're grown people. But we don't suffer long. And if we do, we let them know we're not happy with them. We're not kind. I wonder today maybe if God judged you and me based on nothing but being kind to others. If that was the only thing, I wonder how we'd fare out. I wonder if the Lord would be happy with how kind we are to other people. You know what kind is. You know what being kind means. Don't you? I see four heads doing this. The rest of you ain't doing nothing. Do we know what being kind means? Well, it could be being polite. It could be understanding. Not condescending. Not hateful. Not spiteful. It could be encouraging. It could be edifying to somebody. I mean, it can be all sorts of things. And so the Lord says here through the Apostle Paul, he said, listen, there's a whole lot of people thinking they've got charity, but the real manifestation of charity is this: when people are different and going through troubles and problems, when you're dealing with people, you suffer long with them and you're kind while you're going through it with them. Yeah, you say, well, what's that mean? Well, how long suffering is God towards you? And I think I read in Romans chapter 2 this: the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. God's good to you. And he says, the way I am to you, I want you to be to other people. Charity suffereth long. You say, Brother Tim, this ain't a shouting message. No, it really ain't. It really pricks my heart. Because I can be very short with people. I, as a pastor, you'd think after I've been here, as long as I've been here, that some of these things that you learn as a pastor, or you should know as a pastor, you'd get, that'd stick with you, and you'd just, boy, I mean, you'd just be from where I was, man, way up here where you need to be. But you know what? Sometimes whenever you deal with people, you think, surely you can't be this way on purpose. You have never run into somebody that lacks the skills of being smart? And I mean, you're looking at them and you're thinking, surely you can't be this dumb. Amen? You did not take that class in school. And you're trying not to be impatient. You're not trying to call them stupid. And I know that's a bad word in our day and age. I don't know why. God have mercy. Somebody amen that. Good night. I said that one of my one of them grandkids went, I said, what? She said, you said a bad word. I said, what? She goes, you said stupid. I said, you said it too. It's not a bad word. It's a very descriptive word of many people. Probably not the best word to use as a Christian, but good night. Anyway, and you look at people and you think, you're trying to be patient with them. But you know, after a while you think, come on, get it together. Do it. Now, I know none of you are like that, just me. But sometimes you just sit back and shake your head and think, good night. How could this be? Now, I don't ever think that about me. I think everybody ought to be understanding about me. But surely other people. Manifestation is love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. And it doesn't envy. I mean, all these qualities of love and this compassion towards people is something that God wants us to have. I'm not envious, or I'm not to be envious about other people's success. Have you ever read that verse in the Bible that says, "Weep with them that weep"? Man, I have no problem with that sometimes. Have you ever read that other verse? "Rejoice with them that rejoice." That's a little more difficult, isn't it? "Hey, Brother Tim, I just started making $200,000 a year. Went from $5 an hour up to, you know, whatever." Oh, great. You know what my smart aleck answer would be? Tithe. I mean, you know, somebody gets promoted. You know, you and your co-workers working for the same promotion and they get it and you don't. It's one of them fake handshakes like at the ball game. If you're the loser, you're not happy. They can call it sportsmanship. They can call it whatever. You're not happy. Glad you won. Glad you won. Glad you won. No, I'm really not. Amen. Now, come on. I'm not glad they won. I wanted to win. That's like whenever will you pray for us, we're going to play ball. I'm going to pray we win. Because I know what my attitude's going to be if we lose. And I know what's going to be if we win. I'm going to be proud. And I'm going to be mad if we don't. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Somebody in the church gets up here and sings. Oh man, I could sing just as well as they did. Well, why didn't you get up here? It was a free call. Well, you know, Brother Tim, I could do this, I could do... And we get envious. Well, you know what? Brother Tim's always talking to so-and-so. He's always having fellowship with so-and-so. Or, you know, that guy over there is always talking. They never come and talk to me. You know, the Bible says a friend that hath friends must show himself friendly. Maybe they would talk to you if they know you. I'm just saying we get envious and all these things we think, my goodness, I mean, I'm 54 years old, soon to be 55, almost at the point of death probably. And I'm thinking, surely by the time I die, I can learn these principles of God's Word. But you know what? I struggle loving people and things of the Lord with a real heart, just like everybody else does. And I'm going to tell you what, one day when I stand in front of God, all of my Christian life is going to be measured not by how loud I preached or how good or how bad I preached, not by the crowd that I did or didn't preach to, but how I did it. Did I do it out of love for the Lord? Well, I love the Mission Center. I love to print the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you what, if all that scripture I've printed over there and been a part of printing over there, I can tell you this, some of it's going to burn up because I didn't do it out of love. I just did it because it was supposed to have been done. Sometimes my attitude during printing ain't very good either. Towards it, towards Brother Lee, Brother Andrew, towards anybody that's in a 700-mile radius of the church. They can all die and go to hell as far as I'm concerned working on that thing. You say, oh, well, come over and help me print one day. Yeah, and we'll see how spiritual you get. I'm just telling you. And I, you say, oh, Brother Tim, that's an extreme. No, there's things you do that you could care less about people. That's why we do it. Our motive isn't. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do, I just confess it over and over, is really to have a genuine heart of love for God and the things of God. And we could go on. You know, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity at the end of it doesn't vaunt itself, doesn't puff it up, doesn't behave itself unseemly amongst people. I mean, it's always got the proper conduct towards men and women. I love to kid with people. Sometimes kidding goes a little too far as I'm concerned. On my part, I say things I probably shouldn't say, but I just kid with people. And sometimes I think, man, they may have taken that the wrong way. I saw something on Facebook the other day, and one of the things was, how are you? are you okay? And it put yes. And he goes, are you sure? And he goes, yes. He says, well, I detected by your response, yes, that there may have been something wrong. You know, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't offend people with the way we said things and we really guarded our mouth, we guarded the way we talk? You know, as a Christian, I'm trying to bring this point to us. If I'm going to love God and I'm going to love others, then I better let God examine me and see if I'm really doing it out of the heart of love. Or am I doing it just because I'm supposed to do it? When I walk into this pulpit this morning, I was praying earlier this morning, and I said, God, my heart's so deceitful and desperately wicked. I said, God, I really hope I'm doing this for you, but honestly, I don't know sometimes. I can convince myself I am, when later I may not be. Yeah, I can deceive myself. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make sure. That's why the Lord said when you give your offering, just put it in there and go on your way. Don't worry about it. Because you're not doing it for you if you're letting everybody else know it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that in some cases, because David did. He said, this is what I gave. Now, what are you guys going to give? And he encouraged others to give. But the Lord was trying to get away from this thing of self-edification and provoking to exalting self. Doesn't seek her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You know, I'm a very suspicious person. I've been like it ever since I can remember. I can think somebody is a good person but doing bad things. Well, if you don't believe me, just ask me. Well, why wasn't they at church? Oh, I bet they're mad about something. Now, they may be in the hospital on life support, but I bet they're mad. That's why they're in the hospital, amen. Well, so-and-so, you know, what's going on there? I'll tell you what, the more I examine my own Christian life, the more I find out this. I'm a far cry from what God wants me to be in my love for others. And I'll never love Him until I first of all learn and practice love for other people. Now, you're fooling yourself if you think you can stand or sit where you're at and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And then there's people that you don't even give the time of day to that are God's people. You don't help them. You don't pray for them. Whenever there's a need comes, you don't minister to them. All those things. How dwells the love of God in you if you see your brother in need and you don't meet that need? How in the world could I possibly say, I love God, oh, I just love the Lord, and then I see somebody in need and I don't go out and try to help them? It doesn't. And that's what really convicts my heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Lord, I just love you. So thankful that you saved me. But the test of that's over here when I'm dealing with you, when I'm dealing with them. Am I loving people? Am I weeping with those that weep? Am I rejoicing with those that rejoice? Am I helping the blind and the maimed and the halt? Am I doing something to meet the needs of others? I'm going to tell you what. Sadly, some of the things that I've done for other people have been for me. Oh, they got the blessing out of it. But I just didn't do it for them. I did it for me. Now, I know you, kind of guy I am, you wouldn't think I'd do something like that, but sure enough. And can I tell you this? Some of the nice things you've done for other people, you've not done it because of their need. You've done it for yourself. You've done it for yourself. And that won't amount to a hill of beans with God. Isn't that something? Now, in case you don't think I know what I'm talking about, if you wouldn't mind, turn over to the Sermon on the Mount for just a minute. I just want to read you a verse or two. I mean, it's really interesting what the Lord has to say in chapter 7. I know this is talking primarily to lost people, but I want to tell you what.
if there's people that are lost that are doing this, and Paul identifies saved people doing this, it's supposed to be a real problem, pretending to be something we're not. Chapter 7 and verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of God? To love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, hey, I was one of them great preachers. Remember seeing me on TBS or TBN? Whatever it is. Remember, Lord, I was on all those radio stations preaching? Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Remember them times I stood in that Sunday school class, or I was down at camp, or did this and did that? And many will say, and in thy name cast out devils. Lord, I was helping people, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Remember, God, I believe there's people going to stand. Remember, God, whenever I helped at the soup line? And nothing wrong with the soup line. Remember whenever on Thanksgiving we gave that basket away and I brought them goodies? Now, we never thought of anybody them other 364 days of the year, but remember that one day when we did? Remember that, Lord? Remember when I did all those great things? Notice God's response in verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. See, we're always taught asking people, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Remember, you know how we say that? Oh, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. What's important is, does God know you? Paul said, I know God. He says, yea, rather God knows me. That's more important. Amen. He said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Wait. Remember down there at the church whenever. Remember whenever Brother Tim said, we needed such and such and I did it. Remember that, God? Remember that whenever we needed that food for that family and I brought that can of old sauerkraut that was on the shelf from 1972. Remember, Lord, whenever I went out and spent all my money on this and I really decorated it up and I brought it to the... Remember, God, whenever I did all of that? God said, don't know you. Oh, come on now. You remember whenever I was even shaking my head when Brother Tim was preaching that one time, or that evangelist, and I was agreeing with him. And remember how many times I told people I knew you, but I don't know you. See, there's a lot of pretenders on the unsaved crowd as well as the saved crowd. Now, if you're not saved this morning, let me tell you something, pal. You'll die and go to hell that way. And it won't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll die and go to hell. That's right. That's right. Now, let me tell you something, Christian, today. Let me tell me something. You do with it whatever you want. You can act any way you want, but God judges the heart, and He knows if it's real or not. He knows if what I'm doing is for His glory. So today, let's let the Holy Spirit examine us and see if what we're doing is out of love. I know it ain't been a hooping and a hopping, shouting message, but I'm going to tell you what, it's something we need to look at. We need to examine us. The Bible said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you saved today? You died right now, would you? Where would you be in eternity? I'd like to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you got a long life to live, but the truth of the matter is none of us know if we'll even make it till tomorrow. You know, I've said that from the pulpit before somebody in our church that Sunday. Next Sunday, they wasn't here. It's done in eternity. And it could happen to any of us. My question is, are you ready for death when it comes your way? And as a Christian, are you ready to be judged by God for the real motive of your heart of what you're doing? Is it out of a spirit of love and compassion? Or is it out of a judgmental spirit? One of them unkind spirits. I like that one where he says to the disciples, you know not what spirit you're of. Boy, they thought they had Jesus right where they wanted him. Man, God send us the power. We'll get fire down and burn them people up. The Lord said, you don't even know what you're doing. And sometimes I think that's me. I just don't know what spirit I'm of, why I'm doing it.
God help us today. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I know that probably bored the soup out of most of us. But Lord, the truth of the matter is this verse right here, this chapter right here, will do more to define us than any other chapter in the Bible. There's so many Christians going to stand before you and have the Bible verse that says, "Saved so as by fire," because everything they did was motivated by the flesh. And you said they that are in the flesh cannot please you. Lord, help me to know my heart in some way. God, so many times my heart deceives me. And Lord, I fear it deceives all of us. So help us this morning. May the Holy Spirit be that one who searches us and tries us. May He be that one who looks in the heart of every born-again believer here and sees if it's really done out of a spirit of love. There might be some pretenders here. They say they know you, but they don't. You don't know them. That's what's important. I pray, Lord, they'd be drawn to salvation. In Christ we pray. With our heads